Welcome to the Birds of Alberta podcast. I'm Chris Fisher, co-author of the best-selling field guide, Birds of Alberta. Now, if there is ever any doubt whether Albertans have a uniquely strong connection and identification with our natural landscapes, you just need to get out a bit more. On any given day of the year, Albertans are spending their well-earned free time. It is, after all, perhaps our most valuable personal asset. They're out hiking, biking, skiing, boating, camping, oh yes, and even birding. And these activities inform not only each of our personal characters, but they also inform our collective culture. And while you are making your way out to your destination, there are signs of the top-level connection to our wilds and our wildlife. In fact, these things are so ubiquitous that we don't even consider the effort, the meaning, and the impact, and just how unusual it is for a place to have thousands upon thousands of bird nesting boxes topping the fence posts of our countryside. These nest boxes are an everyday symbol of our dedication to the outdoors, but they are also an undeniable love letter for one of the most admired birds of Alberta, the mountain bluebird. Back in the 19th century, the great naturalist and writer Henry David Thoreau wrote that the bluebird carries the sky on his back. And he was referring to the eastern bluebird in the state of Massachusetts where he lived. But it certainly also applies to the mountain bluebird that we have here in Alberta. Although we do occasionally get both eastern and western bluebirds, it's the mountain bluebird that is the keystone for Alberta. Now, in our book, we kind of ripped a little bit on Thoreau when we wrote, "The male mountain bluebird is like a piece of spring sky come to life. Just as the last snowbanks melt into the ground, mountain bluebirds wing their way into Alberta, spawning spring Asia butterflies wherever their feather tips flake off, or so we might like to think." That's still nice nowadays, isn't it? And maybe it's the best example of the creative amalgam in the writing that John and I typed out so very long ago. In many ways, Alberta is probably a better place to celebrate blue and bluebirds, better than Concord, Massachusetts anyway. Alberta's provincial colors are, of course, gold and blue, the blue referring to the great, clear, sunny skies that we may have more than anywhere else in North America. In fact, we call them bluebird days. So while a celebration of blue might be true for our skies, it's also true for our birds as well. Blue is such a vibrant and important color, but unusual color in the natural world, for there's literally more in that color than meets the eye. You see, in birds, red and yellow and even green, they get their color from pigments, actual pigments called carotenoids. And these are picked up from the foods that birds eat. The classic example of this would certainly be the flamingos, which we don't have in Alberta, but they're well known for achieving their pink color due to the freshwater shrimp that they eat, which makes them pink. Well, no matter what birds eat, they can't make blue from their food or from pigments. You see, the color blue is a property of light waves interacting with tiny little keratin protein molecules that are in their feathers. So in other words, blue is a structural color and it is not necessarily a pigment. And that is the reason it stands out in its iridescence so much more than pretty much any other color in nature. So that is why the sky is blue and so wonderfully blue. And if anyone's ever seen the densest of glacier ice, it also is blue. And so too are the feathers of mountain bluebirds and all our North American bluebirds. They are extraordinarily blue. The male mountain bluebird is bluer and slightly more striking than the female. But don't dismiss the females altogether. When they get in the right sunlight, you know, their gray plumage transcends the color spectrum and turns into quite a wonderful blue color itself. So for visual impact alone, mountain bluebirds, they'd rank very, very high on that nature alone. However, other considerations have come about in the story of the mountain bluebird to make them even more admirable. Whenever I talk about mountain bluebirds or post anything on social media about them, I always get replies from people who really want to see them, but the secret is they don't tend to come into where most Albertans live, as they tend to shun the city life, preferring open country landscapes. But the good news is you really don't need to travel very far from our major cities. There are plenty of bluebirds nesting, within 30 minutes southwest of Calgary and about the same distance southeast of Edmonton. So a short drive will take you into bluebird country pretty much no matter where you live in the province. Really, the mainstay of mountain bluebirds in the province of Alberta, really kind of on the margins of parklands, where trees and typically pastures are found in equal measure. While they do hang out occasionally in crop areas, they do prefer pasture lands just a little bit more with their abundant insects and invertebrate life. So head out to the slopes of the Cypress Hills, the Waterton Lakes area, as I mentioned, west of Calgary, out in the Kootenay Plains in the West Country, and of course, central Alberta from Lacombe to Tofield out to Provost. These are all areas where bluebirds are really happening every spring and summer. Unfortunately, bluebird populations have suffered in the last 100 years or so, mainly as a result of the conversion of forested lands and the deforestation of these parklands to croplands. By the 1950s and 1960s, the declines of bluebirds were becoming quite notable. In fact, it's thought that about a quarter of the population has disappeared over the last 50 years or so. You see, mountain bluebirds, they nest in tree cavities, hollowed out trees. They don't make the cavity themselves. They rely on woodpeckers and other species to hollow things out. But with the increase in introduced species at this time, mainly house sparrows and European starlings, both of those use those same nesting cavities and are very aggressive. Well, they kicked mountain bluebirds out of a lot of these nesting opportunities, so their numbers really started to decline as a result. But for such a pretty noteworthy and iconic bird, the declines did not go unnoticed for very, very long. As occurred elsewhere in North America, Albertans started noticing that their bluebirds were disappearing, and the mountain bluebird in particular, and they wanted to do something about it. Perhaps, well, the most legendary and noteworthy figures in the early days of this process were a brother and sister team located not far from Lacombe, Alberta. That's, of course, Charlie and Winnie Ellis, which are legendary throughout Alberta and conservation circles. Out at their farm in the mid-1950s, they were down to just a single pair of mountain bluebirds, and with effort put together constructing nest boxes and rehabilitating landscapes by the late 1960s, that had grown to more than 60 pairs. And that farm area really today is legendary not only as a nature center and a conservation center, it has historically boasted the highest concentration of nesting bluebirds anywhere in North America. Elsewhere in Alberta, out of Calgary, in the early 1970s, a gentleman by the name of Harold Pennell began mounting nest boxes and placing about 400 of them on that area of the foothills near Highway 22, running from the southern area near Chain Lakes Provincial Park all the way north, up through Sundry and Didsbury, Don and Andrew Stiles, a father and son team, kind of continued this passion and effort out of the Calgary area. Have been building and setting up and monitoring nest boxes for well over 40 years now. In Lethbridge, Duncan McIntosh, he founded Mountain Bluebird Trails in 1980. There were similar efforts out of Provost with Lois and Roger Johnson. My friend Jack Park, who was famous working at the Wild Bird General Store, well, he's perhaps more famous for his extensive efforts in building and maintaining Mountain Bluebird Trails, over 250 kilometers of trails in and around the Edmonton area's fledgling annually, about 800 bluebirds. And of course, the story would not be complete without mentioning, acknowledging the tremendous work of Myrna Pierman, one of Alberta's most impactful naturalists and conservationists in the province. She has been a voice not only for bluebird conservation, but a powerful, powerful advocate for all things wild in Alberta for decades now. And there really is no appropriate lengths that I can go on to acknowledge the tremendous amount of contributions from hundreds and hundreds of Alberta conservationists for this effort, ranging from numerous retirees committing their time to this, of course, rural landowners, amateur carpenters, conservation groups, 4-H clubs, community groups throughout the province, and of course, tens of thousands of school kids from rural communities, but also from inner city schools that have pounded together thousands of nest boxes. But of course, the dedicated team of citizen scientists who have gone out, volunteered their time to maintain, manage, monitor, and measure tens of thousands of hatchlings over the decades really deserves our sincere appreciation. Because really, when you see a bluebird in Alberta, odds are that it was hatched in one of these many nest boxes along mountain bluebird trails. And in all likelihood, it actually carries a band placed upon it as a hatchling by this impressive team of Alberta volunteers. Now, thanks to all these fine Albertans, we do have great opportunity to see mountain bluebirds from the spring through the late summer to the early fall, when they flock together in actually pretty large groups. But it is really in the very early spring, that we have our greatest appreciation for mountain bluebirds. By mid-March, the first reports arrive of mountain bluebirds in the southern part of the province, usually arriving when there's snow still on the ground or the last snowfall to arrive. Always a challenging situation for birds that are primarily insectivorous, but they can switch their diet as need be to any of the freeze-dried fruits that still remain in wild Alberta landscape. It is usually before Easter comes that the majority of male mountain bluebirds have arrived, often establishing themselves up on their territories, frequently not very far from the nest box where they were previously banded. They're mountain bluebirds add a much needed sense of color to the brown and drab landscape that we become familiar with through the winter months, and they bring forth a hint of spring and a hint of hope that we all love to see so very much. Dr. Glenn Vinegard from Augustana University has actually looked into the way mountain bluebirds and bluebirds generally make our lives just a little bit better. He interviewed many, many of the bluebird banders to get a sense of why they commit so much of their time to this. Oftentimes, it is more than 30 days a year that these people spend either building the nest boxes or certainly monitoring and managing the bluebird trails. And they talk about the great satisfaction and enjoyment they get from going out doing this, of course, experiencing nature, having the birds flying around them and doing that. You tend to forget a little bit of your worries back home. obviously there's the exercise and health aspect of it, because walking these bluebird trails really can be a grueling experience, because some of them go on and on and on through these ditches. Many people talk about how they're mentally stimulated by doing something like this. There's an intellectual pursuit, particularly in the banding process. And of course, seeing bluebirds just makes you feel good to be out there. It relieves stress. You feel that you're making a difference not only to the wild landscapes of Alberta, but society in general. And in doing this, we all tend to get out of our homes just a little bit and interact with other like-minded people, which can be very, very appealing as well. So like most things involving a passion for the outdoors, our actions frequently not only benefit the wild that we so adore, but really, perhaps most importantly, our experiences contribute to our very own well-being. And for me, I guess no matter how many times I've seen a mountain bluebird, that first flash of blue in the early spring always, always catches my eye and triggers a jolt of adrenaline. It is in part, I guess, you know, the radical juxtaposition of color between bird and backdrop, of incandescence and quiescence. You know, mountain bluebirds are for us in this province a powerful symbol deserving of our reverence. You know, they provide a meaning of beauty to our natural world, a meaning of working for a common cause, and the meaning of hope, not only for a change of the season and for the good times to come, but for the good that we are capable of accomplishing together, and for all that we have done for this spectacular mountain bluebird they have also really done for us. That has really made them one of our most meaningful birds of Alberta.